Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and today I am so thrilled because with us we have Alan Klein. Alan is an award-winning professional speaker who offers humor and tips about dealing with change, challenge, and stress in the workplace. Alan is the author of The Healing Power of Humor and about all of the techniques of getting through loss, setbacks, upsets, disappointments, difficulties, trials, tribulations, and all that not-so-funny stuff. And it's currently in its 40th printing and 9th language translation. Alan has authored 20 best-selling books about humor, as well as motivational and inspirational books about the positive side of life. Alan has received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor, Toastmasters Communication and Leadership Award, Certified Speaking Professional Designation from the National Speakers Association, and is a Hunter College Hall of Fame honoree. According to Alan, the way to spell relief is L-A-U-G-H, laugh. No wonder people call Alan the jollyologist. Alan, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us and bringing a smile to our day.
Well, thank you for inviting me. One little teeny correction in what you just said about me.
Yes.
It's jollytologist.
Jollytologist.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I put a T in there. I guess I was thinking of proctologist. And so I said,
get that wrong.
Jollytologist, but I'll accept jollyologist too.
Jollytologist. Well, tell us, how did you come up with the title and come to the amazing work you're doing of bringing smiles and laughter to everyone's life?
Well, the title came because I actually have a master's degree in human, H-U-M-A-N, development. And my thesis was The Healing Power, which turned into my first book, although the writing is very different than my thesis. And I got into the some people would say it was a tragic time, but my wife passed away at 34. She had a terminal illness, a rare liver disease, and at 31 we found out about that. And she had a great sense of humor. So during those difficult 3 years, she would use humor. And, you know, there were lots of tears, but there was also laughter. Give you one example of Vicki. She was in the hospital with a copy of Playgirl magazine with a male nude centerfold. And she said, Alan, I really like this picture this month. Can you put it on the wall by the bed over there? And I said, Alan, this is a hospital. It's a little risque for that. And she said, why don't you get a leaf in the plant over there and cover up that part? And, Vicki, I did that, and things were fine for the first day, fine for the second day. But the third day, the leaves started shriveling up. And, you know, it was a difficult time, but we would look at that picture, or we would think of that picture, and we would start to laugh. And after Ellen passed away, I realized it wasn't a lot of laughter, but it was 5 or 10 seconds, and it helped us rise above the situation, gave us a reprieve, and gave us a perspective that humor always gives you when you can find some humor in a situation. So I thought, what a powerful tool that was to help cope with difficult situations, and yet hardly anyone ever talked about humor in death and dying situations. So I went back to school, I got the master's degree in human development, and that, as I said, turned into my first book, The Healing Power of Humor, and turned into a whole new career about being a keynote speaker and workshop leader, talking about the therapeutic value of humor.
Yeah, well, it certainly did turn into a career, and, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it's reaching its 40th printing, and it's in 9 different languages. It's just really quite phenomenal. In the book, you mentioned 14 different techniques about how readers can increase their sense of humor. Can you give us just a couple of those that are really powerful?
Sure. Well, one of my favorites, because, you know, in my workshops, I ask people how many people could remember a joke or a good joke tellers. And I would say maybe 5 people out of 100 might raise their hands. But one thing we could always do is just look around and have a reminder, something when things aren't going well, to remember to lighten up. So I'm real partial to a prop, a reminder, a sign, a photograph. So, for instance, everyone in my programs gets a sponge red rubber clown nose, because when they're not doing too well on a day, if they put that on and look in the mirror, it's hard to not laugh. Or if they're having an argument with someone, if they put it on, chances are the argument will stop. You know, so it's just this little prop to remember to lighten up. Or to have a feather on the dashboard of your car to remind you to lighten up when you're in traffic jams. Or to have a photo. I have a photo of my daughter when she was a teenager and wanted a pie thrown in her face. And she is just glowing, you know, with joy when that happened. So have a photo that helps you remind you, something you say. I have a sign in my office that says, "Never wrestle with your pig. You both get dirty and the pig likes it."
I love that. So you make an interesting differentiation between humor and laughter. Can you share that with us?
I can. And this is only my definition. I go to conferences where there are all these scientific research people, and so they get really deep into what all this means. But I like to keep things simple. So for me, humor is finding something to laugh at, something that's funny, seeing something in a humorous way that will get you to laugh, and then the laughter then is the physical expression of finding that laughter. So one is like, humor is, for me, is almost like changing your attitude, looking at something different, trying to find the lighter side of a difficult or something that irritates you. And then the laughter is the physical, physical expression of that humor.
That is, when you put it that way, you can see very clearly how one leads to the other. You have 2 books that have serious content, The Courage to Laugh and The Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying. And during that, you discuss humor in death and dying and bereavement situations. And grief is such a serious matter. Is it too serious to joke about?
Interesting you ask that, because I just put together, probably in the last year or so, a program. It's called Seeing Demise Through Humorous Eyes, and it's how cartoonists, comedians, and cinematographers show us how we can lighten up about death, how we can see death as less of a grave matter. And what they do is they take death and dying situations, and they kind of see the absurdity in some of it. And so we all know that we've gone to, yes, it's a serious situation, but humor helps us cope. So we all know we've gone to funerals where we're crying 1 minute and maybe laughing, you know, at someone's comment the next. Maybe they look in the coffin and go, "Oh, he's never looked so good." you know, which is which is kind of absurd. So yes, death and dying is serious, but I'm not sure it has to be solemn. And I think if we can find the humor even there, it's helping us cope. One quick research that I found 2 years ago, Dashiell Keltner wrote a book about his research with spouses that were had lost their significant other, their spouse, and if they found some humor within the first couple of months after their loved one died, they did much better over 2 years after that than people that did not find anything to lighten up about after they lost their spouse. So we don't think about humor or laughter and losing someone, but yet it seems to be very beneficial because they realize, I think what it shows them is they can cope, they can, you know, it's a difficult situation, but they can go on with their life and they can enjoy life again after the loss.
Yeah, it's very healing, very, very important that you bring that up, the healing component of that. So you are such a popular keynote speaker at so many conferences. What do you tell your audiences when you're up there on stage?
Well, whether I'm doing 20 minutes, which I've done, flown all across country to do 20 minutes, or whether I'm doing a six-hour workshop or an hour workshop, I build it all on the letters L-A-U-G-H so that people can remember when they leave the workshop some of the tools they can use to find the humor. So L is let go. It's a very kind of Zen kind of thing to let go, because if you're holding on to anything, anger, frustration, upset, you can't laugh about it. So the very first notion is to let go. And we do a lot of playful exercises in the workshop. So one of them, if you're angry at your boss or something, or your kid or your spouse, or if you can get a balloon and blow that anger into the balloon and then just release it. You know, it's a simple way of starting to release that anger. So you've got to let go to find the laughter. And it's amazing, Vicki, when you see an audience of 500 balloons going around the room, it is so, so fabulous and memorable. And then A, and I just touched on that a little while ago, is attitude, that basically finding humor is switching your attitude. Viktor Frankl talks about that. Finding humor in a concentration camp, and it helped him survive. So A is attitude. U, I cheated a little here. U is Y-O-U. You need to go change your attitude. You need to let go. No one else can do it for you. G is go do it. So as you mentioned in the Healing Power of Humor book, I have 14 techniques. So we go through some of those. And then H is really simple. Open your humor eyes and ears and look for humor, because it is all around. You know, I was in a laundromat last week and I looked on the wall and there was a sign and it said, when the machine stops, remove all your clothing. So there is humor all around, but we get so stressed out we don't see it. So that's what I talk about.
Fantastic. Well, you know, you have been such a successful author, 20 books, I'm sure more in the making, you know, inspirational and motivational books that really change people's lives. What got you started writing books?
Well, it was, as we just talked about, my wife's passing, and I realized she had such a great sense of humor and how that humor helped me cope. You know, as they said, there were laughter, but there was and tears, but it was the laughter that, you know, just even momentarily just helped me get a little perspective and get on with the situation. So I wanted to share that with the world. I had this passion to share. And by the way, I almost failed speech in college. I think I got a D or a D minus. So
uh-huh.
I did not like getting up in front of a group to speak. But I had this passion, hey, folks, you need to lighten up. and no matter what the situation, look for the humor. So it was a passion that I had to share this with the world, both in speaking and then certainly in writing to get the book to a bigger audience. Because I realized that one book, and this is why, you know, the authors in the audience that are listening to this or reading this, that one book can get you more coverage. You can get your message to more people than you can with probably all the speeches in your life, even if you're the most popular speaker in the world. Because that book, you know, gets passed on, gets read and over and over and over. It was really a passion that I had to get this book out. And, you know, it wasn't easy. It took several years. There was a change of editor. And I just had this passion to tell the world about the therapeutic value of humor. And I'm so glad I did, because now I get letters of how it helped people and how it's changed their life.
Well, that is so wonderful. And, you know, I have such a belief in people telling their unique story. We've brought over 450 authors to bestseller status. And it's so important to me to spread the word and get the movement out there that people get their stories out, because each story is unique, and it leaves a hole in the world if people don't tell their stories. But share a little bit with me why you believe so much in the power of worlds and words and how it changes life.
Well, you know, as I said, I have 7 or 8 books containing almost 500 quotations each. And I think what's so great about quotations, it puts all of this knowledge, whatever it is about, in just this little kind of nut, you know, little that you can digest pretty quickly. And the latest book, by the way, is Having the Time of Your Life, Little Lessons to Live By. But why I think words are so powerful, particularly in affirmations or quotations, is because, you know, you can't remember a whole book, but you can remember a little part of a quotation, and it could help you with your life or get on with your day. One, the most powerful example, I guess, was a woman who wrote me, very sad story. She said, I'm reading one of your quotation books. She said, you will never know how you have changed my life. And I didn't even write this quotation. I can't remember who it's by. Dale Carnegie. It's a Dale Carnegie quotation. And she said, and this is all a handwritten, letter, 2-page letter. She said, when I was a teenager, I was raped twice. And she said, I'm now in my 70s. She said, for 55 years, I never told anyone about it. And I carry that anger around for 55 years. She said, until I read the quote in your book by Dale Carnegie, and the quote was about taking back your power. And she said, I've taken back my power. I have forgiven the people that raped me. She said, I have gone on with my life, and you don't know how much joy and how much of a burden has come off my shoulders because of the one quote that I found in your book.
Wow. That is the power of words. It is amazing. Amazing. And so I know you have a really remarkable story about how you found Viva Editions, your current publisher, and, you know, this helped make all of these wonderful things that you're bringing to the world happen. So tell us a little bit about how that occurred.
Well, you talk, Vicki, about the power of words, and certainly I'm telling people about the power of words. I need to use it myself, and it truly is. Some of my the quotation, motivational uplifting quotation books were published by Random House, and they did really well. They sold, I think, about 4,000 copies of some of those books, and then they were cutting back some of the divisions in Random House, and they cut out this division, and so now they were no longer publishing these books. So I wrote to them and I got the rights back. And for a year and a half, I tried to sell the rights, these books, to another publisher. And I was turned down by lots of publishers. And so I put this little sign above my desk that said, "The perfect publisher will find me. The perfect publisher will find me." I kind of gave up trying to attract a publisher and just let the world supply me, let it come to me. And so that was up on my desk. I looked at it every day, many times a day. And I went to a book publicist organization, a meeting, because I wanted to hear that speaker that day. And I had been a member of that organization, but I was no longer. And I went to the meeting, and I sat down, and I heard two women behind me telling the man sitting next to me they had a very successful publisher. They're starting, but they're starting a new division, and they're looking for books that are joyous, uplifting, positive. And I turned around and I said, "I have 7 or 8 of those books ready to go." And they gave me their card and they said, "Send us those books for us to look at." And I looked at their card, Vicki, and their offices were about 5 blocks from where I live.
Oh, my gosh.
The next day I took the books over, and then they became too big for the little office that they had in San Francisco. So they moved to Berkeley, California, to much bigger offices, and they had this big opening party. And I go in, and this woman comes up to me, and she says, "I know you." She said, "I'm really glad you're with us." She said, "I own this company. I own Viva Editions. I now live in London, so I'm not around here a lot, but I know you." And I said, I'm looking at her, and I go, "I don't know you." And she said, "Well, I know you because for 16 years I lived across the street from you, and I'd watch you walk your dog every single day."
Oh,
the perfect publisher found me.
That is an amazing story, an amazing story. And, you know, it just goes to show that your books needed to remain alive and expand out to the world beyond what happened initially. You know, there is no
right.
way to stop it. No way to stop it.
I know. It's amazing. And I think, you know, when you align yourself with just the right, whatever it is, energy in the world, whatever it is, you know, it starts to happen. And sometimes you have to give up, like I tried for a year and a half to resell the book. Sometimes you just have to put it out there, let the world, I'm a spiritual person, and so I just believe in some of these principles that sometimes we try too hard, you know, and you're fighting something, and if something is right, if the energy is right, it will happen. And speaking about quotes, I have one on my wall that Goethe said, and because it's so true and so illustrates this point that we're just talking about. And that quote is, "At the moment of commitment, the entire universe conspires to assist you."
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. The visualization of that is just beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, over and over, that's just one incident in my life. One quick other little story is I used to work on Captain Kangaroo, and he used to be the MC of the Macy Day Parade when I lived in New York City. And so for years I've been wanting to march in the Macy Day Parade, but I didn't know how to do it, you know. So I put it on Facebook 2 years ago, and somebody saw it and said, "I will connect you with the right person." And so last Thanksgiving, guess what? I marched in the Macy Day Thanksgiving Parade.
Oh, isn't that fabulous? What a fabulous time we live in, too, from a communication standpoint, in order to make that happen. Really.
Right, right.
And wonderful.
But again, when you're clear of what you want, for any writers that are clear in what their book is, who it's for, the message, the clearer you can get about that, you put that in the out in the universe, and I truly believe the universe then helps you get that message out.
Oh, that is so powerful. So what is the best way for people to use your books?
Well, one of the, I mean, certainly buy them, read them, give them as gifts, you know, like that. But I think one of the best ways for me is just open a book to any page and read what comes to you, because that's what you need to hear that day. So I just picked up a copy of the Change Your Life book, Change Your Life, rather, A Little Book of Big Ideas. And I opened it in 97. And here's a quote by somebody named Kitaro Nishida. And the quote is, "If my heart can become pure and simple like that of a child, I think there probably can be no greater happiness than this."
Hmm.
So my I guess my lesson today is to become like a child.
That is so beautiful. And I would think you spend a lot of your time living that way anyway, because you live in so much happiness and joy.
I try. You know, my wife had a great comment that I still remember. She said, sometimes in life, what we don't get in our childhood, we get in our later years. And certainly I think the older I, because I was a very serious child. So the older I become, the more playful, the more joyous I seem to attract or be or do. But I become more childlike.
That is so wonderful. So tell me, what got you started on your path to becoming a writer?
Well, as I said, my wife's passing, that I had to share that message that about therapeutic humor. Because I thought, you know, my personal story is, look, I am grieving. I have a 10-year-old daughter. Her mother, my wife, is dying. And yet there is humor here. And that humor is helping us get through the difficult situation. So I thought, if I could do that, other people can do that. Other people need that message. And, you know, it wasn't always that clear. It was just like, I got to write this book, you know. I'm a member of the National Speakers Association. I remember going to one conference, and I don't think this was actually happening, but to me it seemed like every speaker was saying, as a speaker, you need to have a book to further your message. And that's when I went home and sat down and wrote the proposal for The Healing Power of Humor.
Wow, fantastic. So since you have done so many books, they've been so successful, what advice would you give to aspiring writers?
If you have an idea for a book, if you want to write a book, you've got to, this is simple, you've got to write it. I know in, I'm a Broadway fan of musicals, and in Chorus Line, one of the lines is, a dancer dances. And so if you call yourself a writer, even if you have nothing published, if you call yourself a writer, that's the first step. But a writer writes. You know, you can't be a writer. I guess you could write and not get published, but if you want to get published, you've got to sit there and write the book. Now, it doesn't have to be at the computer. Woody Allen, I think, uses yellow pads of paper and writes his stuff there. Other people talk into a recorder and then get it transcribed. But my advice is a writer writes, so you've got to sit there a certain amount of time and write. There is no other way of doing it.
Mm. And that sometimes is very difficult for people to get to.
Right. I mean, schedule, when I'm writing, I'm in my bed no later than 9 a.m. in the morning, sometimes 8:30. And I might write till lunchtime and then write again till I take the dog out for a walk. But you've got to, you know, schedule writing time or it doesn't happen. I've been in writing groups where some people say, oh, I want to write a book. And then every month they come in when we're meeting and they've written one page or they haven't written anything. You know, I'm saying you can never get the book done that way. But if you sit at your desk every day, at least 5 days a week, and you write one page, you'll have lots of pages by the end of the year. But you've got to keep writing. There's no other way.
Well, you know, I know, Alan, you used to be a scenic designer for Captain Kangaroo, and you mentioned that a little earlier. But tell us a little bit about how that influenced your life and your writing today.
Well, you know, when I was a designer for Captain Kangaroo, I don't know, you're not old enough, I know that, to remember that show. But,
oh, you're so
fine. But those people that are, you know, it was for kids. And so if Bunny Rabbit, which was one of the puppets on the show, if Bunny Rabbit invented a machine to trick Mr. Green Jeans into giving him some carrots, you know, I was the one that had to come up with that machine. So how did I do that? I thought like a child. How would a child do this? Well, a child might take just a cardboard box and go in the kitchen and get a mixer, a spoon or something, and put it in the box. So it was like I always had to think, how would a child do this? And so I think looking back, you know, even in my workshops now, they're very creative. They're very playful. And so I think that really influenced my life is thinking like a child. And so now sometimes, you know, say I'm on a plane and there's turbulence. So I might think, well, what would a child would think this is an amusement ride and actually love going up and down, you know, and love it. It would be very thrilling and exciting. So suddenly my whole thinking about, oh, this is turbulence and I'm getting nervous about it, changes into joy and happiness and laughter even, because I'm thinking like a child.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. So you have accomplished so much and made so much contribution to the world. Is there something next on your publishing agenda?
Well, yes, next April, it's the manuscript's finished because I sat down every day and wrote, and it's taken maybe 2.5 years for this book because it wasn't gelling, and, you know, I think things have to percolate to be the best they can. So the time was right, and it finally came together, and the book is called You Can't Ruin My Day.
Oh, I love it.
And I realize, Vicki, I realize how we give our power away in traffic jams, when people yell at us, when things aren't going well. We give our power away. And it's so important to not do that and not let people ruin their day. And this book came about because I was getting a traffic ticket and I was still happy and I got to the gym that I was going to and still singing. And I told people I got traffic ticket and they said, but you're still upbeat. How come? And I said, out loud, I said, I'm not going to let that ticket or that policeman ruin my day. And suddenly this light bulb went on. That's a book.
Oh, I love it.
So there's 52 ways to take back your power and change your life. You can't ruin my day.
I love it. That's beautiful. Like one a week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I call them wake-up calls.
Oh, I love it.
So there's 52 wake-up calls.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're going to be looking forward to that. But in the meantime, how can people find and buy your current books? And more importantly, how can they connect with you?
Well, a couple of ways. The books are all on Amazon. So just put in Alan Klein. You got to spell my name right. A-L-L-E-N-K-L-E-I-N. Connect with me is also really simple. Email me at humor, H-U-M-O-R, at, and then my name, alanklein.com. So that's A-L-L-E-N-K-L-E-I-N.com.
Oh, Alan, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's been such a joy. You've brought so much humor and joy into our time together. I so appreciate it. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful
thank
experience.
You, and it's been really joyous speaking with you, Vicki. Thank you.
And for everyone on the call who would like to hear more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, and our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And have a wonderful week.